We're on page 91. It's the second Maimer in the Mamar Mekoach Machshavas. Very remarkable things that we're learning in the Sidus and Teresa Balsham. I'll just go over for 2 minutes. In the physical world, of course, everything has a place, has a makam. And that makam contains that particular person or thing and nothing else. It's that spot, that space of the Baruch Shalom's world is occupied by that person or that thing. And that person or thing can't be anywhere else at the same time. It can only fill that nakuda of space in the world. Anything when it comes to ruchnius, obviously. When it comes to amida, anything ruchni is not shaykh to a bechin of makam. Right? Something that's spiritual, something that's ruchnius, doesn't take up space. It's not shaykh to a makam. Can't be that a person says, right now I'm filled with humility, therefore I can't work on honesty. It's ridiculous. It's too much humility. I can't work on anything else because my space is taken. Yeah. Midas and ruchnias are not teifes a makam. They don't take up a space. Even though we feel that, that's what he was talking about in Oiz Beis. Even though one feels that, the heart and the emotions and the mayach in the mind, and there's no question that there's a ha'ora, as Chazal have taught us. When Chazal discuss things like where is the neshama? Is it in the mind or is it in the heart? It's a discussion. It's machlokes actually in the Medrash Mishlei. Where is the neshama? So it's not talking about a physical space. There's no part of the body that's called neshama. There's no part of the body that's called a nefesh or a ruach or whatever. But it means that the he'ora, the illumination of the neshama, is most powerfully experienced in the mind, and the he'ora of the ruach in the heart, and so on. The he'ora, the illumination, the light that affects the those parts of who we are more than other parts. Nevertheless, when a person, what he was explaining in Ice Base, that when a person is shakua, b'leiv benefesh, when a person is immersed in a machshava, this is a continuation of what we're learning in Maim Aleph, when a person is shakua in a machshava, it's ki'ilu he's going into a different place. It's ki'ilu he's in that place of the machshava. Ad kedekach, that we were learning last time, that he'll find himself apologizing by somebody talking to him, and somebody's telling him like the most important thing in his life, and the guy says, "Oh, that's nice," and his friend says, "Did you hear what I'm telling you? I'm telling you something very important." So he said, "I'm so sorry. I was somewhere else." And even though the person could say, "You weren't anyplace else. You were standing right here," but the emes and panemius, According to the klal that we learned from the Baal Shem HaKadosh, that a person, the etzem of the person, is his machshavas. So he's being honest, and he says, "I was somewhere else." That doesn't mean that was so polite at the moment to be somewhere else, but he really was someplace else because the machshava of the person was embedded in another place, and because of that, it's ki'ilu the person is mamish in that place. That's how Rabbi Kosover explained the Kabbalah that we have from the Kadmainim, from the Merami Rutenberg and other Rishonim, that B'shas Kiddush Hashem, a person is in such a place of Dreikus to Hashem, he's so entirely in that Nekuda of Kiddush Hashem, of Hashem's Baruch, of Amuna, that he's oblivious to any pain. He's in a different place. He's not, physically they're throwing him into a fire. Physically he's wherever he is. But the true makam of where he is at that time, the true makam is somewhere else. And he ends Ice Bays by telling us, we see such an unbelievable marshal for this nowadays. With modern technology, we see that there's such a metzias in this room. There's all different kinds of things going on here that we don't see with our eyes, with the different companies that have their stuff going on, and these galim, these waves that we don't, these galim that we don't see physically, yet there's a way, if a person has the right, if a person has the right machshir, if he has the right instrument, then he can connect to that particular frequency. If he has the wrong instrument or a different instrument, it's not going to connect to that frequency. It can pick up only on that gal. It'll connect to that particular gal, and it will be attached with a strong kesh and a chibur to that particular gal, to the exclusion of other galim, other waves that are all over the place. And the reality is that the reality is not what it looks to, what it appears to us. That the world is filled with things that we can't see with our eyes. And these are makaymis. These are makaymis. They're makaymis. I don't know the language. There's a whole language with texting. There's a whole language with emailing and with computers. But it's about going places, even though you're sitting in one place. You're going, you're surfing. I don't know if there are other newer terms, but you're going places. You're not moving. There are places that you're going to, and you're connecting you're connecting to these places. The connection is through a machshava that you have, that you wanted to be at that moment. You wanted to Google, I don't know, to go to the Kaisel, so you can be on some level at the Kaisel at that moment. And watch what's going on. So you see, this is a marshal that we have nowadays, that in such a way that it's possible with one's machshavas and with one's rots, and it's possible to be someplace else, even though physically you're sitting, you know, in your basement somewhere in Woodmere, but you're someplace else. Page 91. This is all true, this is correct. That we see the ruchnius is not bound to one place. Ruchnius could be many, many, many places, infinite places. It's not limited as the guf is. Because mokum is something that applies to that which has physical dimensions and takes up space. So ein lecha b'shem makom. A makom is a person takes up a place, and that place is mekayim him. That's the word makom. It's a kiyum. It's mekayim him, that place that he's in. Yuvin ki koyach tzadik hekayim the makom mishkanai. So he speaks here for a moment about the inyan of the tzadik. But the koyach of the tzaddik, when the tzaddik is alive, then ki koyach tzaddik is hakayim b'mokim mishkano, that's kayim where he is in his place, the mokim of the tzaddik, or if the tzaddik is no longer alive, a mokim kvuraso by the kever of the tzaddik, eino mugdar umugbal rak l'sham. A person should not think that the koyach of the tzaddik, the ruchnius of the tzaddik, is limited to the place where the living tzaddik is physically at that moment, or it's limited to the physical place where he's buried at that moment. As a matter of fact, I was once talking by the Hilula, that the Morinayim, the Malikutim, the Morinayim says that in a certain way, when a person is learning the sefer of a tzaddik, he's able to have a madrega of his kashrus that's in a certain way that's even greater than his kashrus he could have by being at the kever. We spoke about that once. So it's not mugbal. Ruchnis is not mugbal to the physical grave. It's not mugbal to the house of the tzaddik, his bismedrish. Even though, as Rav Kulg is going to explain, even though there is a certain maila, there's a bechina, of course, of makom that's very choshev by the grave and by the house. This medrash. Still, ruchnius is not limited by that constraint of a place. Me'acher shehinai ruchni, en legvulus makom. But the koich of the tzaddik is a koich in ruchnius. And ruchnius is only makom. Doesn't have the gvulus of makom. Afki aguf hakadosh, even though certainly the holy guf of the tzaddik, hamashakif umakrin chutzah es ha'oros tzaddik, through which the light of the tzaddik is shining when he's alive, through the presence, the physical presence of the tzaddik, which is a kli that's holding that remarkable life of the tzaddik, or by the kever, where there's a hashra of the light of the tzaddik that is hovering over that place of the bones of the tzaddik. But still, motzui is motzui b'makom gvuli. That, of course, the body is in a place that is mugbal, that is limited to that particular place, either in the grave or if he's alive, in his place. Ach etzem ha'ara. However, the etzem ha'ara, nalis mebchinas makom, is higher than mebchinas makom. That's why the Alter Rebbe explains in Tanya, in the Geirus HaKodesh, that the hiskashus that one can have with a tzaddik who's no longer in the guf is stronger than the hiskashus you could have with a tzaddik when he's alive. Because when the tzaddik is alive, sof kol sof, there's a guf, and the guf is a dover gashmi, and it's a bal gvul, and it has the gvulum of this world, and because of that, despite the fact that there's something extraordinary being in his physical presence, because we relate to that as physical human beings, and yet there's an aura that's coming from the tzaddik in this physical world, still there's a level of his kashrus, there's a level of attachment to a tzaddik that one can have when the tzaddik is no longer encumbered by his guf. There could be a his kashrus that's even stronger than his kashrus than when he was alive. Ach etzem ha'ara, nalas mebchinas makom. The aura of the tzaddik, of course, transcends time and space in any physical place. Omnam, of course, of course, where the tzaddik is actually living or the tzaddik is buried, there's a stronger degree of aura in that place. And that's why it's a very, very, very choshev thing to be able to be by the tzin, but to be by the grave of the tzaddik, or to be by, of course, to be by tzaddik in his life. Ayde chibur nachem, kegoin dveikus ha-machshava u'tzeinus ha-leiv. If a person connects himself in the right way, lahavdul, again using the marshal of technology, if a person has the right kind of equipment that is able to connect to that, that's able to connect to that frequency. So if a person is mischaber, if a person is connecting, how? Kegoin dveikus ha-machshava u'tzeinus ha-leiv, through thinking about what the tzaddik teaches, what you've heard, remembering when you were there by the tzaddik and thinking about and reliving that experience of being together with the tzaddik and going over and over and over the movements of the tzaddik, the face of the tzaddik. If it was a tzaddik that's no longer alive, if you remember him when he was alive, if it's somebody that's from earlier, from past, then to think of teachings and try to connect again to the feelings you had when you first heard of that story of the tzaddik, to think of stories of the tzaddik, but to be mischaber, to connect dveikus machshava v'tzaynus alev, and to want very, very badly to receive from that tzaddik, to receive from him, to be a kli, to receive the or of that tzaddik. Ef shelo davka b'koyach zeh, one can attach himself to this koyach of the tzaddik, mikol makom u'b'chol eis, wherever you are, and at any time. L'kabel heimenu shefa kedusha v'hisraimus, and to receive a shefa of kedusha and hisraimus. There are many, many stories among the chassidim about this. And I told you once there was one of the chassidim of, I think it was of Kabrin or Lechevich, from that Bismedrish. I don't remember which one, of the Lechavitcher, that there was one of the Chassidim that wanted very, very much to be Rosh Hashanah by the Rebbe. And he made such a shtadlus, and the whole year he was saving to be Rosh Hashanah. And then, you know, what happened with the weather and the horse and everything. Like it's, he got stuck very far away. He couldn't make it Rosh Hashanah to be by the Tzadik. And he had such gaguim. He was stuck in some little Areska Vafendika village with, you know, a minion of Jews that he was happy to have a minion. And they were davening, you know, Balabathish very fast, and the whole time he was thinking about being by the tzaddik and how he missed so much. He was trying to remember the nusach and the negunim of the Rebbe and everything. And then he had a big hisiris because he mamish felt that he heard when it came time, he heard Hamelech. He heard Hamelech from his Rebbe. It's like he could hear it with his physical ears. Hamelech. The way his Rebbe would scream out Hamelech. But, no. Of course, that wasn't the Metzius where he was. And after Yontif, it took him a while. And he was schlepping. And he got for Yom Kippur, I guess. He was able to be over there by the Rebbe. And when he came into the Rebbe smiled and looked up and says, "Nu, v'nishma piskam hamelech b'chol medinas malchusa." It says in Megillas Esther that the saying of the king was heard in all of the provinces of his kingdom. V'nishma piskam hamelech. So we wouldn't have heard anything. This chassid was, he had the equipment to be tuned into the frequency of the Rebbe. And the Rebbe was thinking of him too. The Rebbe was thinking of him too. When the Rebbe said hamelech, he had that in mind. Chol medinus malchusai. Chol medinus ha-melech ha-chashveyrish. V'nishma pizgam ha-melech. Ha-melech. Was able to hear. Because why? Because that chassid wasn't in that little village. The chassid was by the Rebbe. Or the ma'aseh from the told also in the past that there was one of the chassidim of the Imre Emes, of the Ger Rebbe, one of the chassidim, told the Rebbe that he has to go on a business trip to Paris. And the Imre Emes was not in favor of the Chassidim going to Western Europe for obvious reasons. And he wasn't pleased, but he gave him a bracha. He said, "No, you should matzliach and you come back safely." And then the Rebbe said to him, while you're in Paris, there's a certain cigar that I like. That's what he told him. There's a certain, they don't have... Over here, there's a certain cigar, and in Paris to have these smoke shops, and he told him the name of the cigar, and like whatever, he said, "I'd like you to get me this cigar. If you're already going to Paris, then yes, you can get me this cigar." So the chassid went to Paris, and he was busy with the business, and he forgot altogether. He didn't go to anywhere to get the cigar. And when he came back to Ger. So he came back and he had a pachad. He was going in to say hello to the Rebbe, and then he already had remembered that he didn't take care of that, and he came into the Imre Emes, and right away the Imre Emes had a look on his face like that he was annoyed. The Rebbe looked annoyed, and the chassid saw that the Rebbe was upset because he didn't bring the cigar. So the chassid said, "Rebbe, I'm gonna go to Warsaw. I'm sure I can get it in Warsaw or in Lodz, someplace I can get." And the Rebbe said to him, "Shaita, Chassid Shaita." He said, "Do you think that I care about cigars? Do you think I care about the cigar from Paris?" The Chassid said, "No." He says, "No, I just wanted you, when you would be in Paris, that you should think of me. You should remember that you have a Rebbe who's worried about you sitting in, over here in Poland, and it's not Hefka over there in Paris. Apparently it didn't work." So he said, "You had other thoughts. You were thinking about other things, not about your Rebbe." It's not an inyan of the Karech of the Tzaddik is not that in that place. There are many, many stories of Tzaddikim like this, and Ein Sof, of where the Tzaddik had in mind this. I mean, it's a Karech Ruchni. And therefore, a person who connects himself, who makes that connection, he can receive. A Shefa Kedusha B'Soyemus. Kishem shekoyach ha-tayr, hina metziyas ruchanis, kayemes mi'oz matan tayr, kol god of lo yosef, the sound of Maimon HaSinai hasn't stopped. Every single day we say, Baruch HaShem, nois na ha-tayr. Hashem is giving us the tayr. And the Rishonim tell us, it means that, like it says by Maimon HaSinai, that the kol god of lo yosef, that the sound is still going on. And the tayr is still that Maimed Hasina is something which is continuously taking place in our lives, if a person connects to that. If a person connects and he's in the place of Dveikus with the Torah, so then the Torah is something which wherever he is, it reaches him. And therefore, even though so many years have passed, when we learn Torah, when we sit here so far away from Har Sinai, and so many years later, but if we learn Torah and we try to attach ourselves to the Nais and HaTorah, then the Torah can have the effect upon us that it had upon our ancestors who were standing at Har Sinai. It could change us. It could change us. If you're not makashi yourself with your machshava to what you're doing, to what you're learning, then you could become somebody that knows a lot, but it doesn't change you at all, doesn't affect you at all. Why? Because you're not in that place. You're not in that place. That's what happened when the Mezritcha Magid first had his iskarvis to the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. It was over a piece of Zohar. I'm not going to tell the whole story now. It was over a piece of the Zohar HaKadosh. And Mezritcha Magid was a genius of geniuses, and he knew all of Kabbalah, all Sisrei Torah. But the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, when he was there, and he wanted to understand this piece of Zohar HaKadosh from the Baal Shem, so the whole room became filled with fire. And the Mezritcha Magid couldn't hold himself anymore, and he thought he was going to die. And he understood after that that he has to receive from the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. Why? Because the Mezritcha Magid understood that while he learns the Zohar HaKadosh, the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh goes to the Zohar HaKadosh. He's in that place of the Zohar HaKadosh. He doesn't just learn it. He goes there. It's a different thing. And that's b'chol eisa b'chol makom. That's why you could be sitting in this medrash, and you could have the finest rebbeim. You could be far, far away. It doesn't do anything to you. And on the other hand, you could be far, far away, and you could be mekusha to this medrash, and to your rabbi, and so on. Aliyah dargis b'zeh. Of course, there are madregas. Kamashakarcha tera yeshla yesa gilui. Just the same way that the tzaddik's light is more powerful in his house, in his base medrash, and in the cemetery, if he's not alive, that the light is more powerful. Certainly the koyach of Torah has more of a gilui, is more powerful in the base medrash. It's easier, because the base medrash has a stronger aura of Maimon HaSinai in the base medrash, wherever that base medrash is. Jews are learning in that place, and it becomes a little bit of Har Sinai through Jews learning there over the years. So it's easier to connect. It's easier to connect to that. It's okay. Maybe we could use a marshal. This I know from the telephone. This is if you got a call, then you just press the button and it says that name, or you could have the calls back quickly. You don't have to dial the number each time. It has the easy caller ID, or no, you know, you have it on your, you have it already on your numbers. Yeah, caller ID, I guess. You have it on your numbers already, so that then if that person calls, so then you don't have to go up and down, you don't have to go pressing the numbers. You have it already, it's in the system. And to go back to that person is very, very easy. It's not like you have to go find out what's the person's number. It already has the name and the number, so it's already there. So when you're in a Bais Medrash, it's not... When you base measures, it's already, you already have like the number. It's already the Torah there. Har Sinai is already in that place. It doesn't have to be redialed. It's already there. So the aura of Har Sinai is stronger in the place of a yeshiva, of a base measures, of a makom Torah. K'may chein, also Mishkan HaTzadik, where the tzaddik lives. His body is. It's on the thing. It's programmed in. And it's easier to have access. It's easier to have access to the light of the tzaddik in the place of the tzaddik, either alive or in the cemetery. It's not that hard to make the connection. It's not so hard to make the connection. It's easy to dial that connection. As opposed to starting from scratch, when you're further away, it takes more concentration. It's harder to do by the grave of the tzaddik. by the makom of the tzaddik is not so hard. Zois mishum shegam guf ha'odam mushpa. Because the tzaddik is mishtalshel bo ad guf ha'kodesh. Because the guf, again, we're very much connected to the guf, and we are impressed and affected very strongly by physical things. It's not the same thing to hear about a beautiful scene from a mountain as being there. So when you're there with the tzaddik's guf, either alive or in the or by the tzin of the tzaddik, so there's a big hashpah. The koyach of tzaddik mishtalshel al guf hakodesh, because the koyach of the tzaddik is mishtalshel very strongly into his bones that are in the cemetery, and into the besmedrish that he was. I know that Rabbi Leibel Eiger Susan, when he came to Lublin, he went into the besmedrish of the Chayza in Lublin. He was kissing all the walls and all the benches, and he said, "Here, the Chayza was here. This was in this place. The Chayza in Lublin was in this place." When you go, and it's a very interesting thing, because if you learn the Svarma Kedoshim and you go to see by Kivrei Tzaddikim, so you feel the hashra of that tzaddik. Each tzaddik has a different mahalach. So one thing that I felt very, very strongly when my wife and I was zeichet to go 2 years ago, we went to Poland and felt very, very strongly that by the tzin of Rabbi Yitzchak Vorka, it was very much the feeling there was Rabbi Yitzchak Vorka. And if you learn the Torah of Rabbi Yitzchak Vorka, so you feel there that the place has a Rabbi Yitzchak Vorka. It's a place of Rabbi Yitzchak Vorka. And then when you came to Kotsk, so Kotsk, there's no oil over there. It's just a big mess by the base of Chaim over there. When you come, then you feel very much. It's something that you can't explain. I can't explain the feeling that when you walk in, you say, this is the kind of place that the Kotsk. This is the, you feel very much. That this is a place of the Kotsky. And there's a hashpah that the bones of the Kotsky is in this place. And we know that there's a hashpah of the tzaddik, especially when people come there. When people come to that place, and they say kibbel chetilim by the place, and they put a few pennies, or they light a candle. But we're not going to the Inyan of Ishtachos now. It's a very, 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 very big, deep Inyan, the Inyan of Ishtachos. The different Madregas of Ishtachos by the grave of the Tzaddik, and how to connect to the Tzaddik by the Tzin. It's a very big Asik in Torah. But there's Hashpa of the Guf of the Tzaddik, this Mishtalshel that comes and is Shoira in that place of the Tzin. But the Ikar Dover is not where you are physically. It's not the Ikar. Ikar Dover is Dveikus HaMachshav. Because Ruchnis is not something which is in a place. It's not the Ikar. Even though there is an Inyan, of course, as we just learned, by the place of the Tzaddik. But the Ikar is Dveikus HaMachshav. Dveikus HaMachshav. That's the ikker of one's trip to the tzaddik, whether a living tzaddik or the tzaddik is not living. It's not a physical inyan. The ikker thing is to go to the tzaddik, and going to the tzaddik means attaching yourself to the tzaddik. So the fact that somebody makes the trip and he goes there and it takes and he schleps and he gets to the tzaddik, it doesn't mean that he ever really arrived. If his machshavas are someplace else, and if he's not miskashya to the tzaddik and to the teachings of the tzaddik, then the ikir he left back at home. So he never really arrived. He never got there. That's why it's such a big inyan. Even with the questions in halacha, but lemaisa, that's what we do. Without going into the halachas right now, it's such a big inyan when you go to the tzin of a tzaddik to learn some Torah of that tzaddik at the place. To take out a sefer and to learn from the tzaddik's Torahs over there. It's a very, very big way to try to concentrate to an hour madrega to be miskasha to the tzaddik. And if you have stories and so on. Which is when we're going on that trip, so the whole, you know, there's a lot of traveling in the bus, so every day I was talking for at least 7-8 hours just on the between the basim. We get to the tzin. So by the time we got to the tzin, so we came to the Rebbe Bunim, we came somewhere, so we already were talking for 2-3 hours driving. I mean, I don't know how many people were awake. I mean, cause I was in the front seat of talking the microphone. Every now and then I look back. But it was the whole trip talking, and then I had a thing with Torahs, and we got to the tzin, so everybody was davening, we were saying Torahs, came to Maral, and the Ramah, and the Bach, and the Magal HaMukas, and the Yehuda, and the Talmid Baal Shem, and we went to all the Talmid Baal Shem, Rav Sadik, and the Yid HaKadosh. So to make the hachanis to come through learning and talking and telling stories till you feel that the Rebbe is there, mamish waiting for me. That when you walk into Bnei Melech Melcha came there, it was like to go to, there's a mikveh by the, you know, in Lejansk there's a mikveh over there. You have to call the day before to make sure that they heat it up. Unless you're coming at the time of the outside, whatever. But then we were just coming. It was in the summer, so they had to call the guy up. It wasn't hot though. But till the time when you get there, you feel, you know, you learn tires and saying all the stories, and you try to concentrate, to have as cautious to the Indian of the tzaddik, as opposed to just you know, popping in. It's not the same thing. It's a whole different thing.
The same way a person could be sitting in the Bismedrish next to his Gemara. But the Machshav is someplace else, and therefore, as Rebbe could say, you might be sitting in the Bismedrish, but you're very, very far away. You're not here at all. Same thing when you're by a tzaddik. The Machshav is Sha'ina Machaberis Kanochen. If your thoughts are not making the right attachment, the right connection, you don't have it tuned to that frequency. You're not tuned to that. You didn't press that button inside of yourself. Then nechshevas lemerchak v'yisrachakus. Then you're far away. Kilo ha'odam adayin bedarach. It's as if you never got to that tzaddik. Term bo bechlal. That you never came. It's as if you were never there. You went, you came, and you went, but you weren't really there. You weren't really there. Dveikas hamachshava, he should tikva es metzias haneshama im atzadik gam ba'olam ha'emes. And to the degree that a person was dovuk to that tzadik while the person was alive, thinking about that tzadik and thinking about the terrors of that tzadik, that will be kavei his relationship with the tzadik in the world of truth. There, everybody's fighting to get near the tzaddik. It's the biggest fight to try to get to be in the Dal Amas of the tzaddik. If a person was dovuk to the tzaddik while he was alive, so then he has a ticket to go into the tzaddik, and then because he was mekusha, what's olam haba, so that's the place without the guf getting in the way. So then a person's iskashus is just the iskashus is carried out in the fullest way. He's able to have iskashus. That's not a physical place either. It's not like there's a line. There's no line, and there are no tickets. But the person's neshama has already. It's on the caller ID, whatever that thing is. It's already there by the tzaddik. It's already there. He's on the rishima of the tzaddik. He already has the tzaddik. He has a place in the tzaddik's file. The mela, when he comes to the tzaddik. In the next world, so the tzaddik, so again, not physically, but when it comes time in the next world, so that neshama is in by the tzaddik. We'll talk about further on, page 92. So there was a yid that was bringing his son to the chuppah, and he was having a conversation with an educated, a well-informed chassid, a smart guy, before the simcha, who bikesh lahavin is hamuva bazar kodesh, and this the father of the chassim wanted to understand what's brought down in the Zohar Kaddish, St. Parshas Pinchas, Shashem is Baruch Mevius Nishmas Aharim Migan Eden. But everybody here, I'm sure, knows that the Zohar Kaddish teaches us that by the chuppah, the neshamas of the parents, if they're not alive, the neshamas of the grandparents, great-grandparents, the neshamas come to the chuppah. That they're allowed to come down to the chuppah by the chasana. Lirais besimchas b'neihem. To participate in the simcha of the children. So the father of the guy that was getting married asked the question. Chaitam, he asked. We could understand that in this world there are distances that are measured in miles or kilometers. There are distances. If you want to say that in Shemayim, it's also a distance. If you would say that there's a place that's, 10,000 light years away. There's a place out there that's called Olam Haba. Al Eirech V'Reichov that had length and width, that it was a physical place. V'yesh Bo Hecholos Rabim with many, many rooms and chambers. Asher Echem Mehem Nikra Gan Eden, where there's a Gan Eden. V'tzadikim Yesh Vom Vayin, the tzadikim are sitting at Gan Eden. Azai Efshel Ahavin, Shemazminim Lahem, Shemazamnim Lahem, Shemazamnim La'itzin Neshama, we can understand to make an invitation and to invite the neshamas of the Zaydis and the Babis that they should come. There's also a minik that's brought down in this farm that if you're able to before chasna, if you're zoicha to have graves to go to from parents or grandparents, that you should go to the Beis HaChaim if possible. You go to the cemetery and you invite them, they should come to the simcha. So we could understand if it was a place and they need to have rishus to pay a visit to this world. And they have to go to some street in Williamsburg, or they have to go to the Sands in Long Beach or something, and in Shemayim, they give them there's an application that's sent up to this neshama, and neshama is in Gan Eden, and it gets an application. If you have an anicle that's getting married on Thursday, it's getting married in Williamsburg, you're invited, the chuppah is in this and this time, you can go. If that was a place, we can understand such a thing. That the neshama somehow travels and is hovering over the chuppah, by the chuppah. Until it's time after the chuppah, I don't know if it stays for the first dance, but after the chuppah, to go back. That's if it was something physical. But that's, of course, this fellow's asking the other guy, that's not true. Avala ruchni hara ein leimokim. What does that do with inviting and coming? Ruchnis has no place. It's not in this as far away. What does that mean? Shiesh b'hagdora, that you can magdir a place. What does it mean to invite the neshama to come to the chuppah? And what does it mean that the neshama is allowed to come to the chuppah? No? Don't read ahead. What do you think? What does that mean? What's the tachlis of it? What does it mean to... It's not a place in Gan Eden somewhere that he gets permission to come down. What's the Zohar Kodesh? That's what this fellow... I mean, he's just using it as a way to help teach us this Indian. So what's this going to a place? What's the hazmana? What's the invitation to come? And why does the neshama need rishus? The neshama could be everywhere at the same time. The neshama is not locked into any room. So what's the idea? Olam haba shekula ruchni einam motzoi b'mokam mesuim hamachila. Olam haba is ruchnius. It's not a specific address, and that he has to leave that address. Shev shalom alav shehu sham v'leib b'malkam acher, to say that the neshama is at that address in Shemaim, and he's not here. He's not here in Williamsburg. He's not here in Borough Park. He's not here at this catering hall. It's not an address. כך גם הנשמה שהם כוח רוחני. שאף ביוסן שייכנס בלמזה, לא היה להם מקום מוגדר. Even when the neshama was here in this world, in the body, it's not the, as we said, it doesn't mean it's in the brain, or it's not a physical thing. It's not held to a certain place. Im kain, my mashma shetamna mitzui in the neshama ba'olam haba. What does it mean that the neshama is in a place in olam haba? It has to have reshus to come to the chasana. V'ach shebisha simcha mitzui ba'olam hagufim. And because he was invited, so then they let the neshama come into the physical world. Heichan ha'isa kain lachain. Where was it? It was in a different place. It doesn't take up any place. Heichan hi'akshav. Where was it before the chasana? Where is it now? Because they used to say that's why under the chuppah everybody's always fashvist, even if it's cold. Everybody's always perspiring because it's so crowded with neshamas. It's crowded because maybe of the photographers and the lights, and because they're nervous. But it's not because it's crowded. The neshamas don't take up space. It's not crowded. But there's a saying like that among Jews, that everybody's pushing here under the chuppah with the neshamas. The neshamas don't have to push. There's space. It's not an Indian of space. Then the neshamas have to crowd under the chuppah. That only a child would ask, oh, how could you get so many grandparents under the chuppahs? That's a child's question. It's not how can you get so many neshamas under the chuppah? So where was the neshama before? Where's the neshama now? So what does it mean altogether? Another place called Olam Haba. Shekulanu holchim across the wall, heading there. So this is the question. This is what the Chassan's father was asking the other guy, the Talmud Chacham. So the Talmud Chacham started to explain to the guy. Chelmas b'loy pashtus. And he explained very pashut. Ha neshama ruchanisi. You're 100% right. The neshama is ruchni. It's not physical. Gam b'chaya ein lagvulus makam. Even when this person is alive, the neshama is not davke in this place or that place. Kal v'chayim l'achat seisas haguf. And certainly after it leaves the body, hamugbil makaymai, the body that was in this world, it's not. A place. B'chaye amikarech ha'hirur v'machshav v'shabar yichoy la'hoysa li'imotze b'chol mokim shechotza v'helsa al-daita l'lo gvul mugda. While the person was alive, the neshama was able to be wherever the person sent it. Meaning, wherever a person's machshavas were, that's where the neshama was. It doesn't have to be dafka where you live. It doesn't have to be where you physically are, as we've been learning. Where your thoughts are, where your dveikus is, that's where your neshama is. So the neshama is able to be anywhere. Even while you're alive, the neshama doesn't have to be in one place. Ach, kama v'kama. Be'yoyse mahus ruchnis l'loy l'vush aguf. How much more so? When there's no connection to the physical body. Shanas is bas chayrin l'chalutin m'gvuli hamokam. It's totally free from all of the gvulim of physical space. So then what's the pshat of inviting the grandparents? So what does it mean they're coming here? What's the pshat? Bechlal, what does it mean? The place, Olam Haba. So after what we learned, it's parashat. Kishem shashakua behiru al etzev. The same way that when a person is shakua, he's immersed in a thought that's sad, in something upsetting, something depressing. Motsu isham. He's there, he's mamish there. He's mamish in that sad parasha, wherever he's thinking about. It's not so simple to pull him out of that place. As you know, when you have, or I have ever felt that sadness or depression, it's not so simple to get out. And when you have a friend or someone that you love is in that place, it's not so simple to get him out. Sometimes you have a person that's walking around for years being sad. It's a terrible sickness for being sad. And you said, how come I can't, I go out, I can't get married, and so on. Sometimes the person doesn't know that he's carrying around the marashkar everywhere he goes. That sadness is somehow surrounding him, surrounding her. And people run away from somebody who's sad. Even though you could be smiling and make a face, but there's a certain there's a certain chayshach that surrounds a person, Hashem Rachim. And people don't want chayshach. There's enough sorrows without your chayshach. They don't want that. So it's very, very hard to get that. It's very hard. A person has got a bit depressed or in a sad place.
So we understand that that's when the neshama, when a person's thoughts are connected to something which is sad or depressing. He's mamish in that place. He's in that place.
They even in English they say, a person could say, I'm in a bad place right now. There's such a lush. I'm in a bad place. What do you mean? You've been living in the same place for the last 40 years. Doesn't mean that. I'm in a bad place.
So let's try for a second to imagine. The neshama atahira, the pure neshama. When the neshama is finally free, the neshama is free of the guf. It is done with the guf. It's done with the olam hagashmi. It's done with this whole business. And it goes, the olam ha'emes shukulei taif. And the neshama is in the neshama is what is free from the olam hagashmi, and it's the olam ha'emes shekulei toiv. Metsuya kula begiluye kvayt Hashem isbach. You want to know why the neshama doesn't just go anywhere? It's not because of anything physical. It's because the neshama is dovuk to Hashem on such a madrega. Because in the olam ha'emes, that's the emes. There's a gilui of Kvod Hashem that's so powerful. Kvod Hashem is Baruch She'ena Matuim. It's not covered over there. Hastor and the Hirim Lekol Neshama. Then the Neshama sees a gilui of Shechina without anything physical. Me'ayos ha'chelik elokom yimal. More than ever could have while it was in the Guv. Zemekoyma. The neshama, that's not because of a place that it's in. That's its entire mitzvahs, inseparable from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Dovuk ta Hashem, because the neshama now is not distracted anymore. It's not distracted anymore by the stuff of this world. So in that undistracted, liberated, free state, the neshama has one thing: it's an enemy ziv Hashchina. That's its whole mitzvahs. Not because of being somewhere and addressed, that's his Messias. Lakach ein chafetz klal uklal. Therefore, the neshama has no interest at all; doesn't want at all to come into the world. That's when Rabbi Nachum told Rabbi Nosson, which I've mentioned over the years. Rabbi Nachum told Rabbi Nosson that they're going to give you a choice. After you die, they give you a choice to go through all kinds of things, be it whatever. Difficulties in Shemayim, or they'll send you back into this world, into Gilgul, and you'll fix in a Gilgul, and it won't be so bad. You'll go into a nice Gilgul. So Rav Nachum said to Rav Nosson, no matter how nice they make it sound, even if they say they're going to send you back to a big tzaddik, and you're going to be in a big tzaddik in another Gilgul, don't agree to it. I'm telling you, b'shum oifen. Go whatever you have to go through in Shemayim, finish it up, and go weiter. Don't agree to anything. They're going to make it sound like it's nice, the Gilgul. Don't go back to the world. Don't go back to the world. Stay over there. Not masik. That means such a thing. The neshama doesn't want to go. Gam ain't be a cholta. Not only that, it can't. It can't go. Ain't be a cholta l'he'otek l'nyanim olam hageshem, to go back to the nyanim of geshem. Not because of moving. It's not a space. It's metzias with the shechina. And gam ain't be a cholta l'he'otek l'nyanim olam hageshem. It doesn't have to go to the Olam HaGeshem. Koinech Sefes Talmud El Koinez Baruch Shem, because it has such a longing and attachment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu where it is. Had She'en La'inyin La'hatik Atzma. There's no inyin to leave. Va'afilo, page 93, Lo'y El Nishama Shoichnes Gufim, not even to go back to Chlal, not to go back to the world of Gufim, not even to go back to the guf that was
that's from the earth that it once inhabited while it was living its 120 years in this world, doesn't want to be part of that. And now the bones, now the body's rotting, doesn't want to be part of that, doesn't have a shaykhus to this world. Elish v'mei simchus tzad tzayim, but the Zohar says a big chiddush, and the Zohar is megala, then it comes to the chasna of eniklach children, eniklach sachasna, netekes me'ikir inyana, that the Rabbani Shalom sends the neshama, it takes away that dveikus from the neshama, that the neshama can turn to have a shaykhus to the children, to the eniklach v'adachasna. So they could be together with the doiris that are continuing the way of that person who passed away. The new doiris should be able to be there together beis achedva at the time of the simcha. It's not because the neshama has an address and now it's here in the wedding hall. And before it was in a place, another place in Shemayim. It's Metzias is Dveikas Bashan. Without a Hesach Hadas, without turning its eyes, not physical, but without turning without turning away at all from that place of Dveikas Bashan, that Metzias of Hashem. And then Kadosh Baruch Hu covers something, and the neshama is then able to take a look and to be. Mishtatef and the simcha of the children of the grandchildren, and to be in that lower madrega for that time, to be the lower madrega, to be able to have that nachzruach and to connect and so on, and when the chuppah is finished, not that it flitters away, it's done. That distraction or that blockage is removed. And then the neshama is not cognizant or interested in what's going on in this world. This bichlal is a very big subject. What do the neshamas know of this world in Gan Eden? And what recognition do the neshamas have? What awareness do the neshamas have? It's not for now to go into the whole. It's a very big inyan. But this is what it means. Olam haba. It's not that there's an address, there's a place. It's that's a mitzvah, it's a dveikus bashan. Because there, the neshama is able to be dovuk to Hashem without the distractions of the body, without having to eat, to drink, and go to work, and without being confused in this world. And mimela, it's in that mitzvah. When there's nothing blocking, the mitzvah of the neshama is dveikus bashan. It's total, complete, and total built to Hashem. While the person's alive, he could be very, very bottle, but it can't be to such a madrig. Even the biggest tzaddikim, they're still part of this world. There was a big Lubavitch Chassid for Pesach. He had a very, very long last name, a Russian name, I don't remember. He was a big maskil in Chabad around 100 years ago. It was the ma'aseh with this. The ma'aseh with him is that He has a tremendous, tremendous koyach of rikus, of concentrating. He's a big thinker, and he was able to be on one inyan, in one inyan very strong. He was such a person, a big oyved Hashem. Rav Pesach, anyway, this Rav Pesach, what happened to him? So he left. It was a Fabrengen, and after the Fabrengen, he was walking there on the street of the town. And he was completely in the place of this, you know, of the Fabrengen. You know, whatever that machshava was that he was in. And there was a Russian policeman. It was late at night, and he sees this yid walking, and he's walking a little bit, like he is something wrong. And the policeman asked him in Russian. The conversation took place. He asked him, "Who's going there? Who is there?" So he says, "Hey, there was his bottle. Somebody whose bottle is, there's a bittle over here. It means nobody's here." And the Russian asked him again, "I asked you, who are you?" He says, "I'm garnished. Nothing." Because he was in such a place. So then the police beat him up. It's terrible. So he dragged himself home this Pesach, and he comes into the house, and the family, the wife and children come crying. They see what happened to him, and they asked him, Tati, what happened? What happened? And he was like, I was with a whole group of Gornishes, I mean by the Febranian, of nobodies, meaning who were totally bottled, Tashem, not in this world. I was with a lot of Gornishes. And I think I went out to the street, and then I heard a Garnish Sheba Garnish yelling at me. A Garnish Sheba Garnish was yelling at me. And then he took a stick, a garnish, he said. Also, he took a garnish, and he clapped me. Garnish, not a garnish, not a garnish. And he said, but I'll tell you the truth, the pain is gefährlich. He says, everything was garnished. Until what? Until now. Now it's not garnished. It hurts. So the Lubavitcher Rebbe said this over once, and he said that a Madrega to be so bottled, if a Pesach was a big oivid, it was a big, in a place of bittle, but at the end of the day, when he came home, he says it was all garnished, but now it hurts, because he's still in the world, and as long as the neshama is still in the guf, it hurts. There's a nakuda that hurts. I mean, he was a big tzaddik, but it was still hurting. But when the neshama is not in the guf, that's why we're afraid. And there's a ma'aseh of the tzaddikim that the neshamas of the tzaddikim who before they died promised they would be poiled for us, and then when they left, nothing happened. It's a famous story. They said, what happened? How come by the Bedichev also? And the Bedichev, the Bedichev didn't see he didn't see any tzaras anymore in the world. There's nothing in the world. What's the world? The world is or, is malei or. Didn't see, because he only saw from that perspective of the Ziv HaShechina. And from that place of the Ziv HaShechina, he looked at everything was or. He only saw or. So how are you supposed to help the Eden down in the world if everything looks so good from over there? That's a scary thought. If it looks so good from up there, everything looks nice down here. But it's not nice down here. So we need the tzaddikim in Gan Eden. So how will they pile in what way? And especially when we go to the Tzina, we scream and yell that it's not good over here. It's bad over here. And is it possible? And how is it possible? That's already a very big discussion. It's not really for now. But there is such an Indian. But the main thing is that's what the neshama is in a place. It's the dvekis of Moshe. The neshama continues.